The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate those folks for supporting us, for you making us part of your mornings through any of those outlets. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada. It's the barrage, the D. You think Derek Stevens was like, we're going to call it Barcanada because I want it to be called the barrage?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%, yeah.
By the way, the reason that we call it that is because in some of the printing of the signs, they don't put a space between bar and Canada. And so it looks like the Spanish Barcanada. And so that's why we call it the barrage. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Valico on standby right here. This is from Jamie Leva, De'Ernest Johnson. So good, he said. Ryan Thompson, your Ernie Johnson is by far your best impression. Now we need Kelly to work on his Shaq or Chuck. What do you say, Chuckster? And then Mikey Stacks, he listed all each date of the awards last year. So it does go. So April 17th last year was Defensive Player of the Year. April 18th was Clutch. April 19th was Coach. April 20th was Sixth Man. And then they waited till the next week to do most improved and rookie. And then you're right, May 2nd was most valuable player. So hopefully they put out that list here at some point, the good folks at TNT. New Jersey, New York, regarding the NIT final, we just had an earthquake in South Orange, New Jersey, less than 12 hours after Seton Hall wins the NIT. Lived here all my life, never felt anything like it, but 1,000% worth it. And then Buddhist Man, as Paul Carr was describing Chris Velika's vitriol against him, when Paul picks against our beloved Liverpool FC, I could feel my own anger building up as well, to the point where I was starting to shake. Then my entire house started shaking as well. What am I, telekinetic? No. Magnitude 4.8 earthquake. Chris Velika's in Connecticut. He's in Farmington, Connecticut. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He, of course, the host of the Bear Bets Pod. You know him as the Bear. You're in Farmington. Did you feel the earthquake? I know you did have Seton Hall in the NIT as a future, though.
No, I did not feel the earthquake. I don't know how far into Connecticut it got, but we're kind of in like central Connecticut, right near Hartford. So we did not get the tremor, but I saw the circles in the path. I wonder if my parents down on Long Island might have gotten something, because they're kind of near Holtzville, which was mentioned there. But here's the deal with Paul. Like, it's not vitriol picking again. It's his insistence that Man City, John Stones is hurt, Kyle Walker. Liverpool has been out with like down like 9 first team players the entire season, and they just happen to just go along and win, and they're at the top of the table. So it's like Paul has this opinion that like the only team that has injuries throughout the course of the year is City, which is not true.
I think my favorite thing on this show, amongst many favorite things, is guest on guest crime. Guest on guest crime is my favorite thing. I just sit back and eat the popcorn and listen to it. By the way, Paul and Chris go way back, for those who are wondering. Correct. If Chris is
all in good fun.
Yeah, all in good fun. Congratulations on your Seton Hall future. That was something. Boy, oh boy. And we feel bad for our buddy Will. It's one thing. We're on one side of something, right? If you're on one side, you're happy because you won your money. It's very rare that you care about the other side because you're pumped about your money. It's like, forget those guys. I don't care that they lost. In this case, did you feel like, was there a little part of it that was like, oh my God?
I totally did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I wasn't really saying anything in the group text going last night. I actually grabbed Indiana State plus 4.5 when in the first half, when Seton Hall got up like 9 or 10, whatever. I grabbed Indiana State plus 4.5. It's just kind of okay, at least I have a free roll now on my Hall future if the Indiana State just come back and win. And then I did wind up winning both of them, but I had written it off at 77-70. I'm like, all right, it was a good run, and got to the under 4 timeout, and it came up short. But yeah, as you mentioned, the Robbie Avila three point shot early in that shot clock really wind up being a big deal.
Big deal, yeah. Do you have any plays in the final four games?
I like the under in NC State Purdue. If you look at what Purdue did against Gonzaga, the team that shredded Kansas, held them to 68, shut Tennessee down late. I think they'll do a good job on NC State, and who doesn't really want to go fast to begin with? So the only thing that I played was under 146.5 in Purdue NC State, and I'm just gonna root for my UConn futures to come in.
Yeah. Good for you. Okay, I know you jumped on the Guardians March-April bet as well. Let me just update that for folks, because I know a lot of folks who listen to the show did have Cleveland Guardians, to have the most wins in the months of March and April, have it at 65-1. Here is the update on this at this point. Right now, the Dodgers have the most wins. They're 7-2. They are followed closely by the Pirates and Yankees, who are both at 6-1. The Guardians, our team, 6-2, followed by the Tigers and the Red Sox, the only other two teams with more with five wins or more. Tigers 5-1, Red Sox 5-2. The real sort of kick in the butt for us is that of all those teams, it is the Guardians that has the highest run differential, plus 30. So 2-1 run losses, 0-2. So we're kind of unlucky at this point. And really, the team that is the leader in the clubhouse, if I were to handicap this right now, is probably your Yankees, who, despite having only a plus 7 run differential, are 6-1, having beaten the Diamondbacks, and before that, the Astros, sweeping the Astros before that. They have three against the Marlins starting on Monday, and they still have four against Oakland later, and a couple more games in pocket than the Guardians. So you got to get your Yankees have to stop winning for us.
But you look at the Guardians have three at home against the Yankees coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, after the Guardians get back from that Minnesota trip, they got three at home against the White Sox, who should be hopefully a sweep. And then you got three at home against the Yankees. And then you've got, see, that's a good thing. They play the teams that kind of are ahead of them there with the Yankees.
Yep.
And then they got a bunch coming up with the A's, who you should beat. And then the Red Sox, who have gotten off to a good start. So like, it's a good combination of games you can win. You should win against like the competition right now at the top of the. It's so funny how like the only thing I care about right now in baseball
me is too.
Like how the,
it's amazing. How
the Guardians are doing. I turned it on. I had the game on yesterday because we got a free trial here with like the bases loaded package or whatever it's called. And my wife gets home from work and she's like, "Why are you watching an Indians game?"
Yes,
or she called it the Indians.
Yeah,
that not realizing the guard. I'm like, that'd be, is this like a fantasy league thing? I'm like, no, I got Cleveland at like 50-1 to have the best record by the end of, and she like rolls.
She walks out of the room.
Like, that explains why.
But this is such a great example of whenever, you know, to the person who does not wager, this is such a great example of how betting makes you so much more passionate about something than if you didn't have the bet at all, right? Because today, the Guardians don't play. It's a rare, weird Friday day off. But all I'm going to be locked into this morning, besides my tennis bets, is hoping the Yankees lose, hoping the Dodgers lose. I would never be that locked into that. You know, this like the second Friday or the third Friday of the regular season.
Like when the Orioles came back the other day.
Oh, it hurt us.
That 3-0 lead. I was livid. I'm like, we need the Orioles to be losing games.
That's right. Hope that doesn't come back and haunt us by the end of the month. So that's great. Soccer. Okay, you crapped on Paul's plays or thoughts. You have any yourself, Mr. Man?
I do. I got two for this weekend. And this is not like Liverpool rose-colored glasses or anything. I think there's a real chance that both Arsenal and City drop points. I played both Brighton on the double chance, plus 130 to win or draw Brighton against Arsenal, plus 130, win or draw. Brighton has not been in great form lately. The rumors about De Zerbi, their manager, might be leaving. But this is one of Arsenal's trickier road games left. They're going to Brighton, where I think they've been undefeated in the last 12 or 13 matches. So it's going to be hard for Arsenal, I think, to get out of there with a win. So Brighton plus 130 on the double chance. And I took an even bigger shot with Crystal Palace plus 250 on the double chance, but Crystal Palace win or draw as well. You look at the last five times they've played City, they've gotten a couple of draws and they've even beaten them. One, so like they play a very boring, ugly style, so it's probably going to be a little bit of a like an eyesore to watch. But I think there's a real chance that Palace is kind of they're going to stay up. They're not really in the other drop zone. They're just kind of in limbo. So I think they just kind of go out and kick it around and see what happens. So I played both those home teams, big dogs, on the double chance for the Prem this weekend. And then if you look at Champions League, I find the best price you can. I know there were some 50-1s a couple of weeks ago which I didn't see or have access to, but Atletico Madrid to win the Champions League 13-1 was the best price that I had seen out there. If you look at Atleti's draw, they have Dortmund, who's it's a very winnable tie for them. And then if they're in the quarters right now, if they get past Dortmund, then in the next round, they would draw either PSG or Barcelona, both of whom they're like teams in disarray. And certainly Atletico Madrid would not be fearing either of those two teams. Certainly Barcelona, who they've had a ton of success with in La Liga. But like that's their path to the final, where they would draw probably either Arsenal or City. So you get 13-1 on Atletico Madrid to reach the final, and they get to the final, you're in a chance holding that ticket to be able to make some money. So that was the other soccer bet of interest that I had.
Man, 12-1 right now at DraftKings.
There you go. Thank you. Man loves his soccer. We'll save NFL draft talk for next time you're on, Chris. Real quick, okay. in our last 30 seconds, have you made any Masters bets, or are you thinking about making bets?
I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, because it's kind of like I don't want to take 4-1 or 450 on Scottie Scheffler, but I don't know who I would want to bet. I think the guy closest that I would consider making it outright on would be Will Zalatoris, who has played really well lately. It looks like he's finally coming around with that new putter. He looks healed. He's played well at Augusta before. So like Willie Z would be the guy if I were looking to make one outright right now that I would, because I'm anti-Rory. I'm out on John Rahm. I'm out on Justin Thomas. But like it's hard to come up with a guy who you would pick outside of Scottie Scheffler.
He didn't say he's out on Brooks Koepka. I didn't hear that. Chris, Bear Bets Pod, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
Chris Felica, everybody. The Bear. Multiple sports. Always. We'll come back with Dr. Bob next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the new VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, odds by state, Kelly. Don't sleep on that. Whew. There you go. Had to do whoo twice because the first time the mic was off. So he's like, whoo, whoo.
You know me, I have trouble with buttons over here sometimes.
Live best bets from Wes Reynolds. Let's see how like obscure we can get on the website. Derby. Mike Somich is already talking Kentucky Derby on there. Anything you could possibly want, including, of course, Final Four stuff from Adam Burke, front and center, from Tyler Shoemaker. It's all at vsin.com. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Kelly. I don't know where.
Live Miami starting up. I think that's today.
Where are they playing Miami?
They're over at Doral. So, okay. A course that many people, if you're a golf fan, are very familiar with. You'll be able to see... Well, I think you'll be able to see on CW this weekend. Watch, check your CW. Local listings.
right before Dawson's Creek is on.
That's right.
Let's see. James, the James Lloyd. Hey, Gil, PSA BetMGM graded my Cardinals win over the Marlins incorrect. Had to get in touch with them to have it fixed.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Burns, let's go Dardari. I got him 16-1 preflop to win this tournament. I really want to grab that video poker seat right behind Kelly and get animated, feeling frisky. Jack and a Prius 2.0. My girl works with Matt Painter's daughter, and this gif of her crying after the Tennessee win is what they now send around in their group text when they close a deal. Do you see that? Matt Painter's daughter was just
emotional when they were winning. Exactly who you're talking about. I did not hear any of that if they were talking about it on the broadcast, because I had it on another TV on mute, and I was like, why do they keep showing this girl crying?
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yep. Yeah. Trip Tepper, apologies if you touched on this already. Are we getting the muted? Oh, this is interesting. Are we getting the muted Super Bowl moneyline phenomenon on the look ahead with South Carolina and Iowa on the women's side? The volume of moneyline bets on Iowa should be heavy in the title game. South Carolina moneyline right now with a look ahead 4.5-point spread is -198 at DraftKings. It's an interesting thing to keep track of. Remember when we talk Super Bowl. The betting public, for whatever reason, when they bet the dogs during the regular season, they take the points. But during the Super Bowl, maybe it's your last go at it for the season, they tend to take the money line. And so it artificially mutes the money line on the favorite. Maybe, good call, Trip, maybe we'll see that on the South Carolina.
I mean, I want to say you're crazy. This isn't the Super Bowl. This is women's college basketball. Yeah. But like we are shattering women's college basketball viewing records and betting records every time out. And we're now talking about national, basically sports books that are national.
Yeah. Is the great Dr. Bob with us? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line? He is. Bob Stoll, everybody. Not an actual physician, but a doctor
of using predictive algorithms to predict the outcomes of sporting events. Bob Stoll joins us now at DR Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. I'm too squeamish at the sight of blood to be an actual doctor.
That's true. You've got to point that out. Otherwise, what a physician he would have been. Let's do these one by one. Let's start with the Purdue-North Carolina State game, where the Boilermakers are 9-point favorites and the total is 146.5, sir.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, I've been on Purdue in a number of games during the tournament, and they've done well for me. NC State was an underrated team when they entered the tournament. The big change for them was putting Muhammad Diarra in the starting lineup. Now it's been about, probably over the course of the season, he started about 20, 22 games, something like that. But he was in the starting lineup early, didn't play a lot, then was in the starting lineup later. And since he's come back into the starting lineup, that's when NC State's really perked up. He's a significant upgrade from Dennis Parker, who was a starter and now no longer plays. So NC State's about 2.5 points better with their current rotation than their overall season rating. But that's sort of been cooked into the line by now. I mean, I get 9.6 as a line in my ratings. The line is 9. I don't think there's enough value to bet it. And also DJ Burns has been fantastic for NC State. Big guy, 6'9", 275. Well, he's going against Zach Edey, 7'4", 300. I don't know what DJ Burns is going to be able to do against Zach Edey, but he's going to be the focus of Purdue's defense, and I don't think he's going to have as good of a game as he's been having. So I don't think it's a great match for NC State, but I just don't see the value in betting the game side or total, so I'm past that one.
All right, what about the juggernaut that is UConn, 11.5-point favorites over Alabama, total 160.5?
Well, I have been on Connecticut, and I am on Connecticut again. I mean, you've heard it before, when they have their starting five together, they're 20-1 straight up. The one loss is a huge 3-point variant game against Creighton, in which they shot something like 4-17 versus Creighton, 18-36 from three or something like that. They've been fantastic, but I really do. I don't like Alabama. They've beaten two good offensive teams, North Carolina and Clemson, back-to-back games. But over the course of the season, they've been much worse relatively on defense against good offensive teams. And that's taking their, you know, adjusted defensive rating. That's, you know, the defensive points per possession allowed compensated for the offensive rating of the opponent they played and the site they're at. Now, they have beaten North Carolina and Clemson, but in those two games, their defensive rating was still about 5 points per 100 worse than their season defensive rating. Their offense just played really well in those games, shooting 44% from three. They should have been around 35.5% to 36% from three against those two teams, so they had a little bit of luck there. Plus, Clemson, one of the best free throw shooting teams in the tournament, made only 50% of their three-point shots. Alabama had a huge 3-point differential. A lot of that was variance, 16-36 for Bama, 8-26 for Clemson. A lot of variance. They were sort of lucky to beat Clemson in my estimation before the season. I mean, here's the thing about Alabama. Nate Oates did a great job recruiting all these mid-major talents to his team. They're all so good on offense. But those mid-major talents can't necessarily hold up against major conference offensive players. And I mentioned them being relatively worse defensively against good teams, you know, on offense. And that's been the case all year. They're still, even with the two wins recently, still just 5-11 straight up and 5-11 against the number against major conference teams that rank in the top 40 in compensated offensive points per possession. They're 20-0 and 16-4 against the number against everybody else. So it's still not a good match for Alabama. They're facing a very good offensive team from a major conference. And offensively, they're also a little bit worse relatively against better defensive teams. And now they're facing UConn, is just incredible. And UConn, think about UConn, Alabama's offense is the thing that's got to carry them in this game. But UConn's defense, they're relatively better defensively against better offensive teams. They played five games against top 15 rated offensive teams. Illinois, who they just shut down, Gonzaga, Creighton, they played twice. Once they lost, as I mentioned, 3-point bench. The other time they shut them down, North Carolina. And in those five games against the top 15 offensive teams, they gave up an average of just 65 points and 0.99 points per possession. which is 0.22 points per possession lower than what those teams would average against an average team. So they've been so good defensively against good offensive teams, and Alabama so bad defensively against good offensive teams. I just think it's a good matchup. And even without all that matchup stuff, my ratings favor UConn by 14. I laid 10.5 on, I think it was Sunday morning, I bet it. When the line was 10.5, I jumped on it quick, and the line's up to 11.5. And I still think it's a best bet up to minus 12. So I like Connecticut there.
All right, so I hear you on the passionate speech for UConn here. But if I always like to ask this, if I came to you from the future and I said one of the underdogs won outright, it would seem for the knee jerk that you would immediately respond based on what you just said, NC State. But would your answer be the Crimson Tide just because of the 3-point variance stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because I don't think NC State has enough firepower from the outside to really beat Purdue, and Purdue is the best 3-point shooting team in the country too, if you're talking outside shooting. So it would be Alabama, because Connecticut just went 3-for-17 from 3-point range, and they won the game by 25. How could you shoot 3-for-17 from 3-point range and win a game by 25? I've never seen it. That's how dominant Connecticut is. So even if there is 3-point variance, I still think Connecticut wins this game. But you're right. Connecticut can go cold from three, and Alabama can heat it up from three. They might shoot 43-pointers for all we know, make 20. And if that's the case, then an upset's possible. I just don't necessarily see that happening. But I do agree with your point that because of the variance, Alabama probably has a better chance to win straight up. I just think they're going to lose by 18.
Yeah. No, but it's an interesting way of couching it, though. Bob, going to let you go, but you have 30 seconds. Your thoughts on Bronny James entering the 2024 NBA draft? By the way,
I don't think he was particularly good at USC. I just don't. I mean, if you can't really, I mean, he was in the rotation, but he didn't get a ton of minutes at USC. I just don't understand.
Yeah,
why that would be the case. But
Bob, appreciate it. Enjoy the games tomorrow, man. Great talking to you.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Dr. Bob, everybody. By the way, Bronny James, for those who missed it, LeBron's son has entered the 2024 NBA draft. He will maintain his college eligibility. He will also enter the transfer portal. Posted this on Instagram. But for any NBA teams who want to draft Bronny, there you go.
Yeah, I caught the transfer portal stuff yesterday, I believe. But yeah, now NBA draft announcement. Okay.
ESPN's going to at least devote an hour and a half to it now. I promise you that. Got to. Your microphone okay today?
Everything? I just had to turn it
say yep twice. Michael Montesano joins us to talk college hoops on the other side. He has been as sharp as they come during this tournament. He's next in studio, at the table, I should say, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free.
Split bet.
Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. It is limited. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Do not forego the potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits.
After that, you got to start Venmoing me. Then I'll give you the splits.
Jeez. I don't think that's allowed, by the way.
I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's allowed. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Brandon Webb, not the former Major League Baseball pitcher, I don't believe. But he texted in. He has a thought. He's like, the Chiefs should draft Penix at 32. Let him sit behind Mahomes for 2 years, possibly experience a Super Bowl or two, then trade him for 3 first-rounders. Only problem is the first-round quarterback contract.
Yeah, he'll be 34 years old by the time you trade him.
That's right. If you let Michael Penix sit, he's going to have to retire. But it is funny, though, that the Chiefs would have a luxury like that where they could consider such a thing.
And right? I make that joke, but I'm battling. Like, the Penix thing is something in my mind right now that I am battling, because he is so good, man. He is so good. He probably has the best arm in the draft.
Do you think 6 quarterbacks go in the first round when all said and done?
I don't know. Yes, I want to say yes.
LFC title records. Can I give a shout-out to my hometown of Mankato, Minnesota? Who won the men's and women's Division II basketball championships last week. We are the second-tier basketball capital of the world. There you go. Just gave the shout-out. Congratulations.
I thought that for sure was going hockey.
To everybody in Mankato, Minnesota.
Mike Pena, I agree with your assessment of Steph Blurry's shot yesterday, but it was a wide open shot. It was, but I mean, you know, seconds are what matters more. You're right. If it goes in, we don't say a thing probably, but boy, that's a bad risk reward assessment. Talk about Indiana State gacking that game last night to Seton Hall for the NIT championship. This is, let's see here. Sorry, we've got to get through some of these tweets here. We're on a backlog of tweets, and I want to get to everybody. Oh, MLB Network apparently was on air when the earthquake hit, so they got shook up in their studio. This is from Jack. Love Jason coming on the show live from a puppy mill.
I did ask Gil right when we got done with that. I'm like, has Jason always had a dog?
He's always had a dog. Yeah. He just has done better keeping it out of the room. I was going to say,
that means Jason's actually done incredible work over the years of keeping that dog away from his shots usually.
Guest on guest crime is my favorite thing, but listener on guest crime is my second favorite thing. Chris Heath, Felica's enthusiastic segue to Seton Hall coming off the apathetic update about how his parents' safety is was classic. So great. ladies and gentlemen, this guy won himself a Circa Millions booby prize back in 2020 for a cool $100,000. But his real expertise is in college basketball and pro basketball, by the way. We used to have him on the phone. Then we upgraded him to Skype, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And now in the D itself at Barcana, it's Michael Montesano. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
How's your wife doing now that the weather's poor and she can't go to the pool today? Is she okay?
She's struggling a little bit, but I think she'll find something to do in Vegas.
This was a big thing last night.
Yeah, you really duped her into that trip.
Yeah. No, I told her that it's gonna be 80 degrees. It's gonna be great. You can lay by the pool every day.
Oh, you could have said on Wednesday. You'd be like, well, it's 73 in Vegas right now. Like, it's gonna be beautiful.
No matter what we talked about, she'd be like, wait, can we talk about the weather? Because she was very concerned about it.
That is rough. This is gonna be cold.
It's almost as if, Kelly, the climate is changing here in March and then early April. Okay, couple things. One, do you want to get the Wembanyama rant out of the way first? Do you have anything to add?
I don't really have anything to add. Each day it changes. Like, one day I wake up, I'm optimistic he's going to win, and then I wake up this morning and I was listening to Mitch and Polly, and there was a guest on. I forgot his name. I apologize. And he was a former voter, and Mitch asked him, if you were to vote, who would you vote for defensive player? And he said, oh, Rudy Gobert.
It's like,
and I just, it's and like he didn't really give a, I think, well, I think his reason was, now I remember, it was early in the morning, and he said that it was because Gobert had the better all-around season from start to finish, where Wemby did not start off well, and then he's just kind of taken off. I said, well, I thought numbers were numbers, and there was a scheme shift in there with Pop's, you know, moved Wemby to the five, yep. And that took him off. Wemby took off with his statistics, but I didn't really understand the logic behind.
Were you screaming expletives at the radio?
I just
well, it's kind of quiet. It's kind of like our buddy Drew, who we love, right? But Drew, you know, he was the first guy that wouldn't, you know, he didn't really want to entertain the discussion when I first brought it up more than a month ago, if not 2 months ago. And when he was on this week, I asked him again, and I really expected him to sort of concede a little bit on it. And he didn't concede at all.
No.
He was like, no, but it's Gobert.
Yeah, I was listening to the Dunked On NBA podcast. Nate Duncan does a great job with that. They were going through their kind of top defensive players at each position, but it started off with just the overall defensive player of the year race. They had two guys on there. They had Victor third at best, with Bam Adebayo being above him. Oh, Rudy Gobert, God. And then Bam Adebayo.
On the other hand, right, Dennis Scott, Gilbert Arenas, Draymond Green, like it's Brian Windhorst. Like, at some point, it matters.
And those guys have platforms, and they're former players. And I think Draymond Green, being a former defensive player of the year, he understands what it takes. And, you know, shout out to him for changing his mind, because no one ever wants to change their mind throughout any process of anything in our lives. And he did, and he gave you legit reasons why he should win. It's not just the stats. It's when there's a switch and when there's this and that. He gave you actual basketball terminology for why he should win it.
Yeah.
I'm in on it now. I mean, this is what I was telling you, what was yesterday or the day before, but just of when you see the increase, I don't care whether it's good, bad, or what they're talking about, but the increase in conversation nationwide, and now you're looking at odds that are 10 to 1 or close to that range, it's worth it based off of where the odds are.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
At least
of course.
A sprinkle.
Absolutely. You came in here and there are two things you said. One was, I cannot wait to meet Kelly Bidlin. That was the first thing. And it's true, by the way. And two, you said, I'm more excited for the women's semis tonight than I am for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I am. We're talking about Caitlin Clark, probably could, you know, arguably the best college women's player that's ever played. And going up against the probably the best coach of all time in the women's game. And
I mentioned this at the top. Dawn Staley, because you're right. Yeah. Caitlin Clark thing like sort of waves this off. Dawn Staley and South Carolina, 36-0 this year. 2 years back, going through to the beginning of last year, 72-1 straight up. 3 years back, 107-3. Boy, did she really stink that year.
Yeah.
They lost twice. 107-3.
And no one's talking about them.
No one's talking about them.
Right. Nobody is.
Nobody. I mean,
you're talking about Gino, though, right?
Yeah, Gino, you know, how many Final Fours and national championships. And I do think he will have some type of game plan a little bit better than LSU did to stop Caitlin Clark. But I don't know. You know, when you're a great player, you're going to find a way to score. But the beauty about Caitlin Clark is she's so unselfish. She's rarely takes a bad shot. Everyone thinks her 26 footers are bad shots, but if she makes a high percentage of them, it's not a bad shot for her, as opposed to if someone else takes that shot.
Yeah, so. By the way, Gino, I should point out, because I got distracted by Dawn Staley. Gino's 1,200 and something wins against 161 losses.
It's career.
I think I heard Fezzik somewhere say that he hopes that Iowa wins and South Carolina wins because he was going to jump all over South Carolina in that one.
So. Well, we were just talking about how Trip Tepper pointed out how the money line might be muted on South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's right. This is how all bettors should think. You should. And it's why I always ask about with the anticipation of the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs. I ask of Jay Conn. I ask of Drew Dinsick. What is the series matchup you hope desperately will happen because you know the line is going to be out of whack?
Right.
And so that's Steve's equivalent here of, yes, if it's South Carolina and Iowa, there is going to be a way to exploit this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, South Carolina is just, they're a juggernaut. They're a monster. And, you know, their inside presence, it's very tough to stop and control.
So anything pre-flop tonight or no?
No, I'm just going to enjoy the games.
We didn't either.
I didn't have anything.
We're betting everything else. Tennis, draft, NBA, but nothing on this.
Yeah.
And we'll get into tomorrow here after the break because we'll run into a break. But I just want to, you have an Alabama future. Mm-hmm. What is your, as someone who has one as well, I characterized it this way earlier in the week. I've never been theoretically closer to hitting a big future while also thinking I have 0.00001% chance, right, of it actually happening. Is that your thinking or would you allow for a little more hope?
I think I've allowed for a little more hope just based on the style of play that Alabama, how they play.
Yeah.
If they were not an up and down team, if they were not a 3-point shooting team, I'd say there's no way. But the way they play, I think they're going to surprise some people.
Well, that was the thing about the Dr. Bob segment a segment ago, where it's like he didn't have a play on the Purdue game. He's passionately betting UConn against Bama. But when I asked him, but which underdog is more likely to win outright? He goes, it's actually Bama.
Yeah.
Mike's thoughts on both of these games from a pre-flop perspective, ATS and total. That's on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Download the app. Use promo code VSIN. That's VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Michael Montesano here at the table at Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I just want to read this one tweet, Kelly. Mike Rouse, can Kelly please say betting splits in Ernie Johnson's voice? Is the only request we're getting. From Mike
I can't
Rouse.
Do it, Ernie Johnson, like you. Splitting bets.
We're working on it. Thanks for indulging, though. So again, before we get back to the two games tomorrow, the national semis, ESPN has not stopped talking about Bronny James entering the 2024 NBA draft. So now look, there's no NBA evaluator that would draft him based on talent level currently. He maintains his college eligibility. He's going to also enter the transfer portal. You were saying off air.
It's gotten ridiculous. I don't know all the details of this, but when you heard about Angel Reese,
right,
announcing she was going to the WNBA draft, I started picking up that we were like, well, why? Why'd she do this now, right? And apparently it's because they have 48 hours. The women have 48 hours after their season ends to declare for the WNBA draft. Yet Bronny gets to, on the men's side, yes, it's, I'm going to throw my name in the transfer portal, yeah, throw my name in the NBA draft, see what happens. Nothing works out. I can always end up going to another college or into the NBA, and there's no time deadline.
Okay.
How is any of this fair?
And by the way, Angel Reese projected to be the 7th pick in the WNBA draft. How can I put this? Bronny not expected to be the 7th pick.
Exactly.
In the
not even the same caliber of players
in the NBA draft. So you were saying Michael Montesano, everybody, who was a Circa Million Booby Prize winner for $100,000 back in the day. You were saying, like, why wouldn't he stay at USC now with Musselman being the coach there? Like, you would think, wow, this is what an opportunity. But here's my thing. So when we get to NBA draft props, we've talked a lot of NBA draft this week, by the way, randomly. but there ought to be a prop. Will Bronny James get drafted? Because the fly in the ointment of him having no possibility of getting drafted is all it takes, right, is LeBron to say, to the Lakers brass, draft my kid, draft him now. I've got one more year and I'm out and I want to play with him. So like what could you even possibly make that number? Because that's really, it's like, that's the wild card in all of it.
I mean, on every mock I've seen, and just, I'm not a talent evaluator. Right. I've watched him play. I mean, he didn't even start for USC and his minutes were limited. And I understand he had some health issues at the beginning of the year and he's probably trying to work his way back from that. And I think he'll eventually get a lot better than what he played this year. And, but I just don't see him being drafted in the first round.
All right. Give us a minute on, you won the Booby Prize at Circa. For those who missed the answer to this question when it happened a couple years ago, what was the point in Circa Millions where you decided, I'm cooked, I'm now going to try to win the Booby Prize?
Week one.
Week one.
Right, week one.
What'd you do? Because what were you week one?
I was 0-5 on one entry and 1-4 on the other entry. So, I mean, go through back, and this is a long story, but I just kind of said to myself, I think I'm pretty good still, 1-4. Let me try to win with this one, and then I'll just flip it in the other. If I get on a roll, I'm going to eventually place. And I did place. I placed 47th, and at that time it was – you know, it was only top 50.
Were you just
50.
Doing Oppo?
I just did Oppo. I think there was
Course you placed 47.
I think there was a couple I missed. I changed, remember. But that's what, I was really kind of more concerned about the first one. I didn't think I was going to ever have a chance at the Booby Prize. But I said, well, if I give my, because there was only one winner. There wasn't a second and third place like there
was
now.
Right.
Did you coast in or did you need it to happen the last
week? I needed to go 5-0 the last, or 0-5.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And I got, it was funny because like for 47th, I think there was like a long list of people and I got like $300 or something like that.
It's amazing. Wow.
We always talk about that of like, when you get chopped down to when, a million people tie. But I mean, you and I, so especially this past year, how often we talk about the mental mindset of getting into picking losers.
But now, do you view this as that was my year? Like, I could have just as easily won it all that year because you were as good as you were bad. That was your year. It's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I don't think it's – I mean, it's hard. I don't think it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, to win it now with how many entries, I mean, you have to hit 72%. I mean,
it's wild.
I don't know.
Winner was even above that, right? Wasn't it 73 or 74%?
When your friends asked you what you won and you had to explain it to them, were you like kind of sheepish about it?
Yeah, because
they don't really understand that you're as good as you are.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a terrible better and I won $100,000.
They're like, way to go, Mike.
Well, they say, well, that's easy. Anyone could do that.
Yeah. How much you win? Oh, actually, that is pretty brutal. Okay. College basketball national semis again combined, the largest spreads. Two of the largest five individual spreads in national semifinal history, I shouldn't say in history, all the way back to 2003 when they've been tracking it, combined the greatest. Start with the first game. Purdue, 9-point favorites against NC State. What are your thoughts here?
I think the number is right on. It just depends on what narrative you want to go with. You know, both teams are I believe undefeated against the spread in the tournament, and you know, and we all know the NC State Cinderella factor. I do think Zach Edey is going to dominate this game. I for some reason it tells me I don't think the refs are going to change the way they've been calling them all tournament. So wow. I think he's going to dominate. I think it's going to be close as far as to the point to the spread. I did take a play. I did take the under in the first half, 69 in the game. I think both teams play good enough defense, and it's going to be tough to shoot in that stadium. It's not easy, and I think it usually takes about a half for teams to get acclimated at that pace of play. Anyone go out and shoot, you know, a couple hundred shots to get used, but when you have fans and the sight lines, it's hard to shoot.
Games in Phoenix, of course, 146.5. Any thought on the total?
No thought on the total. I think it's right about where it is. You know, I think, you know, the first half unders, you know, it's a feel out process for each team. I think it'll be possession by possession. I think that's the way NC State's going to want to play as well.
Okay, and then Bama and UConn again. While stating you have the Bama future, as do I, 11.5-point spread, totals 160.5. If you did not have the future, how would you come into this game? What would you say?
I would take Alabama plus the points. It's just there's too much high variance that's involved with Alabama's three-point shooting. You know, they got off to such a horrific start against Clemson, 1-for-13. And then when they got hot, they ended up with 16 threes in the last three quarters of the game. And I'm not saying they're going to hit 16 threes. If they can hit their average 10 to 11 threes, I really do think the stat that everyone should look at is the 2-point shooting. Illinois went in and they just tried to go at Klingon every single time. And it was almost like, we're just going to keep doing it. That's what we're going to do. And I think Nate Oates is going to make some adjustments. I'm not saying they're going to take 16-foot pull-ups. I think they're going to bring Klingon away from the basket and try to make it a 2-on-1 situation. He's going to have to. Nelson's going to have to hit some threes, but they also have the Stevenson kid, the 5-star who just came out of nowhere. And he's a really good player. He just hasn't gotten the minutes.
He's the 1 5-star of the bunch.
Yeah. He's the 1 5-star. And if he's making threes, I mean, now you're bringing, you know, Klingon out a little bit further.
These, again, are at State Farm Stadium where the Cardinals play football. Yeah. So, it's always a thing. Okay, and do you agree with the first point I made? So if you have an Alabama future, and again, folks are like, what are you going to do with your ticket? Well, there's nothing to do pre-flop because they're huge dogs. If they go up 10-0 to start the game, you're still not going to do anything because the numbers the algorithm's not going to reflect anything dramatically at that point so early in a game. On the other hand, what I said was, let's say, just hypothetically, work with me. If they're up 9 points early in the second half and your moment, or let's just say it's halftime, so you have some time to actually think about it, your moment to hedge, quote unquote, would be right then. But being up that much, will your brain change to, well, I'm not hedging it now. They're up 9. Let's go. We're doing this.
Yeah, it's going to be if that happens, I'm going to have to just play that one by ear. I do think I'll have enough in my Circa account where to hedge just to try to get my investment on Alabama back. And if Alabama somehow wins, and then we're going into the national championship game, and then that's something we'll, you know, have to worry about on Monday. But I think you're right, though. If they get up 9, 10, 11 points with, like, 12 minutes left to go in the game, it's going to be like, I've got a shot at this.
Yeah. And at that point, what a bitter way it would be to lose in a national championship to a Purdue. That would be horrible. Just be like, oh, we came this far. Yeah. But for those who had, you know, obviously for those who had Indiana State last night, they know exactly.
I feel bad for anyone at Indiana State or Indiana State in the game. I did have Seton Hall, so I'm not in the game.
And even that was dicey that it got dicey. Home, for sure. Very Michael, pleasure. Maybe next time we'll upgrade you even further.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Michael, anytime.
And you're not on Twitter, so there's no Twitter to give. But again, the 2000 Circa Millions Booby Prize winner, Michael Montesano, on the games tomorrow. Good luck with your future, with my future as well. Good luck to everybody with your bets, college basketball and beyond. For Kelly Bidlin, it's Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.